is open up and bleed. It is Tuesday night. We're here at K Chung Radio. Ooh. I am your host, DJ. Okay, that will officially scare everyone away because it is peaking like crazy. And this is Open Up and Bleed. I'm your host, Eugene, and as usual, we have a fascinating, very interesting, very exciting guest for you. Guest, can you please introduce yourself right into the microphone?
My name is Colin Self.
Wow, and where do you hail from?
Where do I live now?
Well, you're visiting,
I hail from Aloha, Oregon.
Aloha, Oregon?
It's spelled A-L-O-H-A.
A-L-O-H-A.
But it's actually, it's pronounced, it's Aloha, but it's a mispronunciation in spelling of actually the Alawa tribe that was in Oregon, and the Oregonians were stupid and thought it was aloha, like hello in Hawaiian.
Right. Well, when was that tribe? So
this was probably like
50s? 1950s. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was going to say, because, you know, the tribe was only the land. When was the land taken away from this indigenous tribe?
Probably around then. I'm pretty sure Oregon was one of the last states to become
Hawaii
a state.
Was definitely later.
Later.
For sure. But aloha and the Hawaiian thing did enter the culture.
Right.
I would say even, I think the high point of that was the 1940s.
Right.
But I think it must have entered the culture at least in the late 1800s.
Yeah, I'm wondering, yeah, it must have been in the 1800s then that Aloha, Oregon became Aloha, Oregon.
You think so? Or I thought you said 1950s. You're saying 1850s.
Oh, wait, yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, the 50s.
For a
timeless, time-traveling guest like you, the 50s could mean century.
It's weird that I said 1850s and thought in my head
50s.
I guess I have to specify.
Can you imagine 40 years from now when we're going to be like, whoa, the 50s.
The 50s.
We're in the 50s. Rockin'
the
2050s.
50s again. And there'll be all those 100-year things of like, look where we've
Elvis.
Come. Elvis, 100 years ago.
Little Richard.
Do
you like him?
I love Little Richard.
He's cool.
He's one of my favorite. There's a really good film with him in it.
Oh, yeah?
A super trippy film where, what is it? Something House Rock? Not Schoolhouse Rock.
If the house is a rockin'?
No. Oh my god, what is it? It's some really weird trippy movie. I want to say it's in some way derivative of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, really?
And he plays
Little Richard's in it.
Little Richard's in it, and it's this super psychedelic scene of him like at the piano,
playing, and there's all these fairies.
I should really at some point during today Wikipedia and try to figure out what this film is.
Don't do it during the show. Although we do have a very special surprise guest that'll be joining us, so maybe when our guest is at the mic,
then I can do a little bit.
So what brings you to our fair city?
I am performing at the Terragram Ballroom with Holly Hearn.
Stop. We never do plugs or promos on this show. Fuck it, bro. You're just here for fun. We don't do that. That's not how we play.
Hell no.
Okay, so we were talking a little bit before the show about our quote-unquote funky. Like, when you were a kid, when you were a teen and you heard, like, an older person say, like, funky or edgy, you thought it was lame, right?
Kind of.
That was,
I feel
like a signifier of lame, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of at what age where I thought things weren't cool.
But I'm
speaking
talking,
of cool.
Speaking of things being so cool.
It's Lisa!
We got our special surprise guest. Can you tell everyone who just walked in?
Hi everyone, I'm really cool and I'm Lisa.
And the crowd went wild. Oh, nice shirt. Were you working out in that?
Yeah, this is my schlubby shirt.
This is my schlubby piece of crap.
This is my schlubby shirt that I wear when I'm, like, you know, doing yard work or
like sweating
exercising.
A lot.
It's from this independent film.
A schlubby source.
It's from this independent film that I worked on this summer. Or last summer.
Last summer.
A long time ago.
Here at the station we were, if you recall.
Yeah, part of it was filmed here. This is...
Where were you, Lisa? Where are you coming from?
Well... I'm coming from
besides
the
flirting with a car of British gents.
Oh yeah.
Well, now that I'm single.
Oh, too soon?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Don't put me on blast.
Yeah. So where are you coming from? Be honest.
I went to the main bar. It's a bar ballet style exercise class that I'm addicted to.
And just to clarify that for all the alcoholics and party animals listening, when you say bar, this isn't it's like a drinking place.
It's got two R's and it's followed with the letter E.
Uh-huh, so barra.
Barra.
So it looks like if you didn't know how to speak French, you would call it barre.
Yeah.
But it's bar.
Uh-huh. And what do you like lift your legs? You like move back and forth?
You like kind of, why don't I show you and then you can describe it.
All right, fine. But do it slowly. So, and why don't let Colin describe it?
I'll live narrate.
Colin, why don't you live
narrate? So Lisa is... She's
standing.
She's in first position if you know ballet. And now she's up on her toes in first position. And she's doing kind of like a plie, slow plie.
Is it okay that you're using the table as your support?
Yes. Yeah.
This is the bar.
She's using the table as a bar. And she's thrusting her pelvis.
Oh, wow. Is that official or is that like a variation?
And putting her hand out in front of her with a nice smile on her face and hands up above the head.
Oh, it hurts.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
I bet you could do that way longer if you hadn't just done it for an hour.
I also do this.
I'm going to do it with you.
Okay, now Colin is standing up to do it with Lisa. They're moving the chair to make room, and this has officially gone from being a delightful intellectual radio show into being a physical brawny event.
Colin, please stand up straight and tuck your sacrum.
Tuck my sacrum?
Oh my God.
Is that my sit
Guys, bone? This is... Yes. The FCC is listening, okay?
Yikes!
Okay.
tuck your sacrum.
Now just drop 1 inch. And up an inch, drop an inch. Up an inch, drop an inch. You feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that your knees aren't going over your ankles, babe.
Okay.
If this was the official score to that was a Ginuwine's pony, I would say that we were straight up at the other bar. Know what I mean? The bar where people cruise each other.
Well, yeah. Funny enough, now when I go to the bar with alcohol, my dance moves are a lot better because I'm stronger.
Wow. So that's a tip for everyone out there. Who,
if you want to grind,
it's a wallflower, maybe is a little shy. Lisa, what's the tip?
If you want to grind on some D,
grind on some D.
Go to bar with two R's, one E.
Before you go to bar with no R, E, well, one R. All right, got it.
B A R.
That would be a great bumper sticker. I guess I would say, what do you think? You guys think exercise is important? You do that, Colin, when you're more stable?
It definitely helps it's like a sanity thing more than anything else. And I also
sanity?
Think, yeah, like without, if I don't use my body, this is a funny reoccurring conversation that I keep having with my friends is like, The less that I do things with my body, the more crazy I feel.
Right.
And then
restless, antsy.
Yeah, antsy and feeling like uncertain. And somehow, like anytime I'm like doing my most physical, I think this is one of the reasons I like performing so much.
Uh-huh.
Is like whenever I'm at my physical extreme or like doing the thing that is the hardest.
Yeah.
That's usually when I feel the best.
Here's my thing. When I just exercise or try to do that, because I'm not very regular, I hate regularity in my life.
Me too.
I hate like having a schedule and stuff. Yeah. So when I just do it with like no goal, I always come home, shower, pass out for 2 hours. It's weird. They say it's supposed to give you energy, but it doesn't.
I mean, it knocks you out.
It knocks me out.
That's good.
So
though.
Only when I do competitive. Physical.
Mm-hmm.
Does it like energize me? Like if I play tennis or basketball or something, then I'll be like, yeah.
Sports.
Yeah, sports.
Have you ever tried jiu-jitsu before?
I used to do karate as a child, but not like in the last 15 years.
I was hanging out with my friends Brian and Yasmin earlier today.
Uh-huh.
And we were watching these videos. I've never done jiu-jitsu before,
right.
But it very much reminds me of like movement class in the way where you're kind of like there's like certain things that you can do but there's no actual like position 1, 2, 3, like a sequence that you have to go in. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of just like rolling around on the floor.
Are you sure there's not like, because there used to be a thing called kata, uh-huh. which is a type of dance. And there were very specific order to the moves. Like I can still like do some of them.
1, 2, 3.
Well, there's knees and there's kicking involved, so I can't do it from my chair.
Mm-hmm.
Lise, did you ever do karate?
No, but I did do kickboxing when I was in wow. junior high.
Oh, you're so on trend. You like Muay Thai, all that stuff.
I just went to kickboxing, and I grew up in San Luis Obispo, where slow kickboxing is, which is slow. Owned and run by Chuck Liddell of UFC fame.
Wow, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're kind of like mm-hmm. beat the UFC mm-hmm. popularity to the punch.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he was my kickboxing instructor when I was like 13.
Did he ever knock you out?
No, he was super nice. He was like a big old teddy bear, but I only did it for like a week.
Okay, so, so that's like when I worked at Hollywood Video.
Yeah.
Just a week, mm-hmm. and then they fired me.
I was like, this is hard.
Was that your first job, Hollywood Video?
I worked at the local movie theater first, but then they fired me because I was watching too many movies. Like, I would always sneak in.
Yeah.
And then the Hollywood Video fired me because I was late, like my fifth shift.
Ideas, Mia.
Yeah.
What was your first job, Lisa?
My first job was serving frozen yogurt because my mom's boyfriend bought this frozen yogurt place.
Kind of ahead of trend, huh?
But yeah, it was
Froyo.
Froyo before Pinkberry.
It was Froyo, but I only worked there like 5 times or something.
Feel you.
And then I got
like you did.
And then also I did costume design for a children's theater when I was a child myself.
Wow, child teenager. Labor, they call it child labor.
Teenager, 16. Mm-hmm. And then I worked in a hair salon as a receptionist.
Wow, and now your current like sort of vocation is a combination of all those things.
Froyo slinger.
Yeah.
Froyo slinger, costume designer.
Hair salon restoration.
How
about you, Cullen?
Well, my first, I worked.
This is in Oregon, there.
This is in Oregon. Aloha. So when I was 14,
and that was all in San Luis Obispo, at least. So that was some of it was in the South Bay.
No, that was all in Slowtown.
Wow, Slowtown! Shout out!
Hell yeah!
If you guys are listening from Slowtown, you can text Lisa because I'm sure you have her number because everyone there's family. Or you can call in at 310-890-3887. Okay, Colin, what was your first?
My first job was working at Booty Vintage in Portland, Oregon. Wow. And when I was 14 years old, this was a really crazy time.
You commuted?
Well, here's the thing. When I was 14, I was kind of like a weird little street punk.
I was going to say a street kid?
Yeah.
No way.
I was like weird.
You didn't like run away from home, though.
Well, here's the thing. I had, because my older sisters were such troublemakers, and I had really good communication with my parents, they like trusted me way more than they should have. And so they would let me leave town. I'd be like, I'm going to go stay at this friend's house for blank. And then I would actually just like go hang out in Portland and like, if I didn't find a place to sleep, I would, like, hang off my street punk friends.
Wow, this is in the summer, right?
In the summer.
Right.
Mostly.
School's out.
Yeah.
And what is a kid to do?
What is a kid to
sleep
do?
Sleep on the street and work at Booty Vintage.
Right. And so there was these two people, Wendell and Venus,
right.
who were running this really weird... And, like, now looking back on it, it was, like, they were also drug... drug lords or mm-hmm. drug say
that. Interesting. What drugs did they peddle?
I'm pretty sure
heroin,
crack cocaine.
Uh-huh. Crack cocaine.
I don't know, but it was a
look,
very
was a
they
demand.
Were very they really they were very kind and they let me come hang out at their store when I was like a little 14-year-old.
Yeah, and they didn't try and to then, deal to you.
No. They were very nice. I think they let me smoke pot and they were like, "We won't tell if you smoke." And then, I was working for them and they gave me this test to get hired. I was like, can I work here one day a week and get clothes in return and like a little bit of money? They're like, sure. So I was doing the windows.
Oh, the window
display?
Little
thing, because I had all these like ideas of what I wanted to do and they were like, sure, 14-year-old, like, go ahead.
That's so cute.
It was nice of them.
Yeah, it was cool.
Looking back on it, it was pretty generous of them. But they gave me this test where they wrote down 3 words on a piece of paper and the guy, Wendell, was like, okay, circle the most important word. And the words were fashion, style, and trend.
Which one would you circle, Lisa? Fashion, style, and trend. Okay.
I would have to circle style.
Me too. That's what I was thinking.
Which
what
is exactly the one that I circled so that we all got that test correct. And then they, yeah, so then they hired me. But then one really sad thing is that I found a home. One day I was opening the shop
and you ruined
there
the
was
shop.
A homeless person who died on the front step.
Oh, God.
I had to call the police because there was a dead guy. And then...
Good thing you're not a necrophiliac.
I know. Tell me about it.
That could have totally
real
ruined,
trouble.
Yeah.
Taking him in the back. And,
yeah, exactly. That could have ruined your, you know...
Ruined
Did
my life.
Did that traumatize you at all, though? Do you still, like... think about that?
It did. I've had like a very strange thing in my life of like I've seen it's so weird. I've weirdly seen dead bodies.
A lot of dead
people
bodies.
People who have died who are just like laying on the ground.
Oh God.
Out of like weird instances throughout my life.
But strangers to you.
Strangers. Never only once was it someone I knew.
And you you discovered their body.
I just heard their body.
Someone you knew.
Yes, that was very recent and very strange and
scary.
That
sounds sad.
It was. It's still kind of weird. I don't know if I'm... Yeah, we don't have to talk about
it. No, please. I mean, if you don't want to, then we won't.
It was just... I don't know if it's something...
You're still processing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was unexpected. It was weird.
Yeah.
Death is strange.
Colin, our very own little angel of death.
Yeah, harbinger of, you know, Joan always tells me one of her life ambitions, because we watch a lot of Ion television. I don't know if you're familiar with this channel, but they do like, and like one day they'll have the show Criminal Minds nonstop for 10 hours. Then they have Law and Order SVU nonstop for 10 hours. And she's always telling me like, before I pass, I really would love to play a dead corpse at the beginning of one of these shows. And then I always have her like audition, and she does a great job. So if any of you casting directors are listening, Joan Howard Lee, contact me. Yes,
that'd be cool, casting job.
Yeah, finding the dead corpse. I think it's just like you're the lucky extra today. Like, you know, come on down.
How good are you at staying still?
Don't breathe. Actually,
yeah.
I remember this
Don't
thing.
Breathe.
When I did this like acting class when I was younger, I remember there was a.
Now I see where it all comes from.
Oh yes, I was really into improv when I was a child.
And you still are.
Right? I still am for my whole life. But there was this thing where they were like, in order to like look dead, if you want to on screen pretend that you're dead,
from
you
camera.
Inhale over the course of 20 seconds and exhale over the course of 20 seconds.
Should we try that?
You guys, I'll live narrate it. Okay, so they're breathing in right now. They're, okay, Lisa's not a convincing corpse. Colin, you were doing it or you were just observing? Lisa. Yeah, Colin's doing it. He's straight up a corpse. Lisa's closer to a zombie or some sort of...
Lisa's making the zombie eyes.
I'm just
the living dead.
I'm just letting your dead, yeah. I'm just letting your audience know that I am breathing out for 20 seconds.
I recently...
There you go.
It's called radio.
Yeah.
Right.
We are performing for radio. You can't... We have to do
You can't
it.
See us.
Well, I'm narrating, so it's fine.
Oh, okay. Let me try that again and I'll do it for real now. Ready?
It's really like tense in the room right now. Elisa's smiling. She's like blinking. you can't like blink and stuff. It's not just like if you
Wait,
hold in your breath.
You know what would be so great though is if
Wait,
you're watching a movie.
I think it helps
movie.
If I'm laying on the ground.
No, we're not gonna do.
I think it would be nice to watch a movie where someone's supposed to be dead, and then you kind of like see their eyelashes moving a little bit, or like peek open a little bit, and you're like, wait, are they actually dead?
That happens
like,
all could the fuck time
with,
in movies.
You could fuck with a plot.
No, but that happens all the time.
Look,
movies.
Now she's has a really good like dead
oh,
look
yeah,
stare.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no. Like, but it was good. She does have that look like she, like the last thing in the world that she saw before she was murdered was really scary. She does
yeah.
have that look.
She was
her.
Scared to death.
Guys, I recently downloaded a meditation app. You guys,
which one?
It's called Breathe, I believe. That's what made
Breathing
me think,
is very important.
That's what made me think of it. Let me tell you what it's called. It's called Breathe. Yeah, and it has like settings like you can meditate for 5, 10, or 15 minutes and it like guides you or whatever.
I'm really into guided meditation.
I'm really into, one time I was listening to ASMR.
Right.
And I found this like 50 Shades of Grey one that was really great.
Did you get an erection? Some people get turned on by that.
Yeah, I had an orgasm.
Just listening to it.
Before he even unbuttoned my pants.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was that then it led to this, you know, like when you're on YouTube, it just kind of like leads you to
yeah, rabbit hole. Sure.
So I rabbit holed and I found this meditation for hands-free orgasm. But if I can find, can I just, is it possible? Can
yeah,
I just
we can
play?
Plug it in if you can find it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to step out and
yeah,
find.
This, right?
I'm just,
yeah, we're
good. I think we don't need to listen to the whole thing. I
no,
think it's just really
it,
good to get to the climax because his voice is just really does the trick.
It sounds impressive, yeah.
Let me just, I'm going to step
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I remember, take a few minutes.
I remember a friend of mine telling me that she had found a website that was, or that she had found an
she had
instructor.
Been on a website.
I think this was actually when she moved to LA. She said that she met someone who taught her how to have a touchless orgasm.
Touchless
orgasm that was guided by breath, and she was like, it was the best orgasm I've
and
ever
she,
had.
And she did it.
She
went there.
But that also, I don't know, I'm like suspicious of it. Like, I wonder how much of it is that you have to convince yourself that you're going to have
do
an orgasm.
Do you orgasm every time you have sex?
Yes.
Yes.
But I think it's, yeah, most, like, yeah.
Like 95 or
95%
like
of the time. Mm-hmm. The only times where I don't.
Tell me.
Is probably if I'm extremely tired and I fall, and you fall asleep,
you fall asleep
during
in the
sex.
What would
which
you,
hasn't happened in many years, but I know that at some point in my life it happened.
Okay, let's talk about just the most generic, unremarkable, average sex
mm-hmm.
that you're having. How long does that last? Just like just average, generic sex.
40 minutes?
It lasts 40 minutes. From what point to what point?
From like
penetration?
The dick, no, from like dicks getting played with.
Played with.
Like,
yeah.
Or maybe boners being rubbed up against
yeah.
each other.
When that dick is hard.
When dicks get hard and there's
the
like physical
line.
Contact of
right.
some sort. So maybe it's kissing.
Yeah. Does your, in what instances when you don't want it to happen, does your dick get hard during your day,
oh my God.
Day to day?
Oh my God, when a dude, there's actually, this is a big problem in my life. I was thinking about.
That's what the show is for.
I was thinking recently about how often my thought process is completely confounded by just like thinking about sex because of just the way that men's brains are kind of wired.
Yeah, men's brains.
Men's brains.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone is kind of wired, but in particular, I know that I have like, I can feel the hormones raging inside my body. There's a few, one of the things is, men in sweatpants
on the street a man
on the
in sweatpants
street, like a
do
thick
it
fat
you.
Ass in sweatpants
uh-huh. You like it kind of fat?
Yeah, totally
uh-huh. So are you, what do they call that, chubby chaser?
Yeah uh-huh. But and also yeah just thick dudes in general.
Thick,
I think thick, yeah.
Thick.
But also yeah.
When was the last time you were with a guy who wasn't thick? A guy who was like skinny?
I don't think I've ever had.
Ever?
No.
Huh. You so okay.
Well, in comparison yeah. to like yeah.
what America calls skinny.
Yeah.
You've never done that.
I just don't have any. I just
do
don't. I'm
you.
Not interested in someone who has abs. It just is no in no way. Sexy.
Okay, so well, we're talking about different things here. You're talking about kind of flabby, but like okay, someone who doesn't have abs, but maybe doesn't have an ass.
They have to have an ass.
They have to have cushion for
well,
your pushing.
For the pushing. Like, I don't know. I think that there's things. It's more about maybe the body, or I don't know.
The body
like,
electric?
No.
you fuck the body electric? Okay, sorry to interrupt you.
No,
it's
I
more
think
about,
it's more about, like, what they have with their, like, I think people who are built a certain way is what makes them sexy to me. Like, if someone's broad in general, like, they don't have to be, they can be, like, if they're, like, super stacked, like, muscular.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they just naturally have a build where they have like really wide shoulders or something.
That does, that's
totally,
big for you.
Yeah.
But then if
shoulder, yeah.
But if they have reverse pear, you
reverse,
don't like it.
I don't know, but reverse pear can be sexy too.
But I'm
there's
no
I think,
ass with
I think
reverse
that,
pear.
Yeah. Oh my God. See, that's so tricky.
Like really great shoulders.
But I
like,
don't want to say that there's a type of body type that is desire. I don't know.
Look,
like the
here,
politics I, of desire, I think.
I'm
are,
gonna give
are really
you
tricky.
Look. I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt that I give myself,
mm-hmm.
which is that the number one thing to even to solidify interest to the point of erection or
mm-hmm.
attraction, right, is that the brain has to be pretty robust.
Okay? Yeah, for sure.
Right? So, like, you could see someone that superficially you're attracted to, and then you could go engage them in a conversation. And if they suck at that second part, I'm out of there.
Exactly.
And I see you're like that.
Say, and in fact, okay, a good example of this, I work on Sundays at this place called The Rusty Knot on the West Side Highway.
Rusty Knob.
The Rusty Knot.
The Rusty Knot. The Rusty Knot. Yeah, it's the bar.
It's a gay, it's a tiki bar, and on Sundays
I've been there.
It's gay.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's
but,
great.
So
it's really
you have at on Sundays the most beautiful
Rusty Knot.
The most beautiful gay men coming in on Sundays for free Tito's vodka from 4 to 5. Which
wow,
gay,
there you
gay
go.
People freak out about gay vodka. They've and
is Tito's like straight up like gay vodka?
I think
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's like
but they
Material Vodka.
I think Material Vodka is definitely gay.
Those
They're
guys
queer.
Are nice.
They're
Those
queer.
Guys are nice. They're queer.
Shout out to Material Vodka.
Yeah,
They're
as
wonderful.
If they don't get enough.
As if they don't get enough.
Like, in this niche.
But I was gonna say that yeah. There's the most beautiful men that come in there, but when they like open up their mouths to talk to you, you realize it's like so many of them are just like, you know, I couldn't engage in more than 3 minutes of conversation
right.
without being like, I have to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Do you think that's a problem though? Like in a way, like, so we choose our social intellectual climate pretty, I don't want to say narrowly, but like, you know, we choose based on interests and just how things end up in a social way. And then when we are forced, and I don't want to speak for you, but I'm just talking from my own experience. When I am forced to interact with normoids or people who maybe I don't share any interests or intellectual sort of like, you know, whatever with, it can be difficult. At the same time, like, I love getting into an Uber and, like, having that convo, you know, with either another person in my pool or mm-hmm. the Uber driver.
Me too.
But for some reason, when it's at, like, a social event where, like, people are trying to, like, hook up or, like, meet
you
people.
You mean, like, potentially sexual?
Yeah, it becomes a little bit weird. Like, it's so much harder to
connect. Because there's an intention.
Yeah, there's an ulterior motive. When people are putting their best foot forward and they're actually like not that interesting or intellectually curious or whatever, they suck. But if they're just like being themselves and like chill, they're really interesting, I think. Like,
yeah.
As like someone to like engage with. But like people are trying really hard. It's just like they end up smelling like cologne or perfume really strongly mm-hmm. and like this is the stuff you're choosing when you're thinking really hard. Like, I don't know. It just
most
feels weird to me.
Most often when I have a crush on someone, it comes out of like circumstantial something is almost never in a space where it's like about like where you would engage in flirting with someone.
Uh-huh.
Like I'll be like,
so like the workplace.
Across the room uh-huh. from someone uh-huh. or like in a weird place and I'm like, who's that fucking person? They're so cute. And then like I'll see them do something or they're like climbing a ladder or they're like
but
fixing.
Is it a place that you went to that is like sanctioned in your social universe or is this like you at a cafe or you at like the library or something?
Totally the library.
Yeah.
Libraries are one of the sexiest places.
I think so for sure.
I can't read, but
Lisa's chiming in here.
Will,
no can readie.
I don't know how to read, but I'll have to agree with you guys that it's very sexy to see people pretend to read.
Someone else?
You can go to the library and not read and just
read
cruise.
People.
I just go there and I sprawl out in one of those chairs at a table. With a big old stack of books I can't read.
I like Lisa.
And I just look at them.
I like Lisa pretending.
I just look at them and then I slightly lift my eyes above the book and look around the room to see what kind of hot guys have noticed that I'm pretending to read.
You could always, man, one of my favorite things to do is.
Okay, that was just a fantasy, sorry.
Yeah, well, you've never been to a library, I knew it.
Really?
Lisa just read 12 books today, actually. She has a super reading power.
Yeah. She
if
read
by books you mean people, then yeah.
I heard you read all the Ferrante books today 3 times.
3 times.
Yeah.
It's always weird when people say
Lisa's like, what the hell is that? And like you know what I'm talking about, right?
What's a Ferrante?
Oh yeah, Ferrante.
Oh, come on. This is, like, the thing that's, like, really big in, like, the New York literary scene. This Neapolitan series.
Wait, is Ferrante a philosopher?
No, it's, like, this Italian woman. The first book in the series is called My Brilliant Friend. You know?
Speaking of my
right.
Speaking of my brilliant friend,
yes.
Just a sidebar.
Please.
If you guys want to hear orgasmic hypnosis.
Yeah, let's do it. Here, I got it.
I've got it.
Let's do it. Come on.
Okay. I didn't cue it up exactly to where it gets really juicy because I think the buildup is a little bit necessary.
I have another thing that we could play after.
I hate playing things.
This is just 1 second.
Okay. I'll just mention the name of something that people can look at.
I mean, all right. I'll do it, Lisa, because I got some stuff.
And then you press play.
Oh, really?
The hell these things work? Yeah, you press that little triangle.
Okay. We're going to put this on now.
I just want you to know that this is, I think we're at about 20, almost 23 minutes into the hypnosis.
Right. This is the end.
So it's a long
this is called
process.
Number 7, erotic hypnosis, orgasm on command from the hip guy, HYP.
Yeah.
You can find this at home. And this is a Lisa Katnick original exclusive selection.
Yes.
Okay.
My voice, flowing in you and through you. You're doing the right thing. It's good for you. It's good for you. Feeling that pleasure flowing and flowing and getting closer and closer to that moment where you can't hold back anymore. To that moment that is super powerful, that will be the pinnacle of this experience. More and more, higher and higher, more and more, higher and higher, waiting for my command, more and more pleasure, more and more pleasure, getting close, getting close.
I don't know if I'm convinced.
Almost there.
His voice is so sexy.
Getting
though.
Close.
I imagine
getting
coming?
Close.
Is he also coming?
No.
Come now. Orgasm now. Orgasm for me. Orgasm. Yes. Orgasm. Let all the pleasure flow. Yes. Orgasm. 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 Come. Orgasm. 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 Yes.
I tried to listen.
Orgasm.
We're all lip syncing in the studio
all
right
doing
now.
It. It's like
whenever you
this would be a good
say,
thing to do, like, you know,
orgasm
like a drag
now.
Show where lip syncing.
Feel that
stuff.
Feeling
this would be a
flow
great
through
lip-sync.
You.
Yeah.
Remembering these powerful feelings.
Okay, you can turn it off. You can turn it off. It's creeping me out.
No, you love it. Okay. Like, Lisa literally just had an orgasm.
Well,
and so did I a little bit.
Well, listen, so it's really weird having these headphones on. I listened to it because I was like, oh, I want to see if this works. And like within like 5 minutes, I was asleep.
You called.
I just took a really great nap.
Have you ever fallen asleep during the sex act with another?